Chapter 27. The Bereaved.
Bereavement softens and subdues. It has been my lot to be chastened by affliction, which has had a softening and subduing influence, removing enmity from my heart and filling it with sympathy and love. My life of bereavement. Two of her four boys had died at an early age, the oldest, Henry, at the age of 16, and Herbert, the youngest, at the age of 3 months. Death came to her husband, Elder James White, in 1881, after a very brief illness at the age of 60. Reference to this experience is found later in the chapter. The Compilers. My life of bereavement, pain, and suffering has not been without precious revealings of the presence of my Savior. My eyes have been attracted to the heavens that shine in beauty above us. I have obtained glimpses of the eternal world and the exceeding great reward. When all has seemed dark, there has been a rift in the clouds, and sunbeams from the throne have dispersed the gloom. God would not have any of us remain pressed down by dumb sorrow, with sore and breaking hearts. He would have us look up to catch the rainbow of promise and reflect light to others. Oh, the blessed Savior stands by many whose eyes are so blinded by tears that they do not discern him. He longs to clasp our hands firmly while we cling to him in simple faith, imploring him to guide us. It is our privilege to rejoice in God. If we will let the comfort and peace of Jesus into our lives, we shall be kept close to his great heart of love. The Review and Herald, November 25, 1884. We shall see our children again. Comfort to a mother on the death of her child. As you relate your experience in the death of your child and how you bowed in prayer, submitting your will to the will of your Heavenly Father, leaving the matter with him, my mother heart is touched. I have passed through an experience similar to the experience through which you have just passed. When my eldest son was 16 years old, he was stricken down in sickness. His case was considered critical, and he called us to his bedside and said, "Father, Mother, it will be hard for you to part with your eldest son. If the Lord sees fit to spare my life, for your sake I will be pleased. If it is for my good and his name's glory for my life to close now, I will say, it is well with my soul. Father, go by yourself, and Mother, go by yourself, and pray. Then you will receive an answer according to the will of my Savior, whom you love and I love." He was afraid that if we should bow together, our sympathies would strengthen, and we would ask for that which it would not be best for the Lord to grant. We did as he requested, and our prayers were similar in every point to the prayers you offered. We received no evidence that our son would recover. He died, putting his full trust in Jesus our Savior. His death was a great blow to us, but it was a victory even in death, for his life was hid with Christ in God. Before the death of my eldest boy, my babe was sick unto death. We prayed and thought that the Lord would spare us our darling, but we closed his eyes in death and laid him away to rest in Jesus until the life-giver shall come to awaken his precious loved ones to a glorious immortality. Then my husband, the faithful servant of Jesus Christ, who stood by my side for 36 years, was taken from me, and I was left to labor alone. He sleeps in Jesus. I have no tears to shed over his grave, but how I miss him. How I long for his words of counsel and wisdom. How I long to hear his prayers blending with my prayers for light and guidance, for wisdom to know how to plan and lay out the work. But the Lord has been my counselor, and the Lord will give you grace to bear your bereavement. You require to regard to your little ones being saved. Christ's words are your answer. Suffer little children to come unto me, and forbid them not. For of such is the kingdom of God. Luke 18, verse 16. Remember the prophecy, Thus saith the Lord, a voice was heard in Ramah, lamentation and bitter weeping. Rahel, weeping for her children, refused to be comforted. Thus saith the Lord, refrain thy voice from weeping, and thy eyes from tears, for thy work shall be rewarded, saith the Lord, and they shall come again from the land of the enemy. And there is hope in thine end, saith the Lord, that thy children shall come again to their own border. Jeremiah 31, verses 15 through 17. This promise is yours. You may be comforted and trust in the Lord. The Lord has often instructed me that many little ones are to be laid away before the time of trouble. We shall see our children again. We shall meet them and know them in the heavenly courts. Put your trust in the Lord and be not afraid. Letter 196, 1899. Children in the Resurrection. Lines penned on the death of the child of Mrs. White's twin sister. Our fondest hopes are often blighted here. Our loved ones are torn from us by death. We close their eyes and habit them for the tomb and lay them away from our sight. But hope bears our spirits up. We are not parted forever. We shall meet the loved ones who sleep in Jesus. They shall come again from the land of the enemy. The life-giver is coming. Myriads of holy angels escort him on his way. He bursts the bands of death, breaks the fetters of the tomb, and precious captives come forth in health and immortal beauty. As the little infants come forth immortal from their dusty beds, they immediately wing their way to their mother's arms. They meet again, never more to part, but many of the little ones have no mother there. We listen in vain for the rapturous song of triumph from the mother. The angels receive the motherless infants and conduct them to the tree of life. Jesus places the golden ring of light, the crown, upon their little heads. God grant that the dear mother of Eva may be there, that her little wings may be folded upon the glad bosom of her mother. The Youth Instructor, April 1858. Jesus says, lean on me. Words to parents who had lost children at sea. I have thought of you many, many times. The comforts of the Scriptures are very great. They abound in consolations to the afflicted and bereaved, the sick and the suffering. I seem to see Jesus saying to you, Father and Mother D, lean on me, lean hard, I will bear you up. My arm shall never fail you. It shall be strong to support you over all the rough and difficult places. Only make me your trust, and you shall be guided safely and upheld firmly. Oh, the precious Bible, its truths are full of marrow and fatness. We may consider and rejoice in the light of the promises. They are gracious utterances of an infinite God. His voice is speaking to us out of his word. I hope you are of good courage. This affliction that has come to you, you may not be able to explain. Everything may remain in impenetrable mystery until the sea shall give up her dead. But let not your heart bow down in sorrow, for they are the Lord's property, and he will do what he will with his own. This we know, that his love is greater than ours possibly can be, and Jesus so loved them that he gave his life to redeem them. Then let them rest, and let your heart go out more decidedly after Jesus to supply every soul hunger, every want. Whatever may be your circumstances, however dark and mysterious may be the ways of Providence, though the path may be through the deep waters, and trials and bereavements may afflict again and again, the assurance still comes, all things work together for good to them that love God. Romans 8:28. I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. 2 Timothy 1, verse 12. Letter 32, 1893. Blessed are the dead who die in the Lord. Comfort on the death of a mother. Dear sister, I have read the letter in regard to your mother's death, and I could but say, Blessed are the dead which die in the Lord. Revelation 14, verse 13. For a long time your mother had been very feeble. You have cared constantly for her. To see her face no more will be a great grief to you. Were we living nearer you, we would say, come apart and rest a while, but your duties claim your time. I would say to you, trust in the Lord. You will feel the death of your mother very keenly, but let me tell you that I sorrow not for the righteous dead, but for the living. I know that you have laid your mother in the tomb in the full hope that she will come forth when the trump of God shall sound. I know what it means to bury loved ones. My father, mother, brothers and sisters, my husband and two of my sons are sleeping in their graves. My sister Mary and I and my two sons are all that are left. Letter 98, 1903. Look to the happy family reunion. Comfort on the loss of a wife. Dear brother, we have heard the news of your wife's death, but have received no particulars in regard to her sickness. We sympathize with you. We pray that the Lord will comfort you and impart to you his grace so that you will not be prostrated by overmuch grief. Let us thank God that our faces are set toward the promised inheritance. Let us thank him that his salvation is nigh and not far off. As you look upon your little ones, toward whom your wife so faithfully discharged her responsibilities as a mother, you have reason for rejoicing that she has done what she could to bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. The blessed Savior, who took little children in his arms and blessed them, will not leave your children or you comfortless. A double responsibility now rests upon you. May the Lord inspire the hearts of those who shall deal with these lambs of Christ's fold to treat them gently, tenderly, lovingly, so that their young and inexperienced feet may be ever guided to walk safely. Dear little ones, Sister White loves you, and she will ask the Savior to bless you, for he loves you as his little children. Brother E., I know you will feel sad because you have had to bury one who was dear to your heart, but what saith the Scriptures? Here is the patience of the saints. Here are they that keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus. And I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, Write, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth. Yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors, and their works do follow them. Revelation 14, verses 12 and 13. We will pray for you and your precious little ones that you may, by patient continuance in well-doing, keep your face and steps always directed heavenward. We will pray that you may have influence and success in guiding your little ones, that you, with them, may gain the crown of life, and that in the home above, now being prepared for us, you and your wife and children may be a family, joyously, happily reunited, never more to be separated. In much love and sympathy. Letter 143, 1903. Will be called in special resurrection. Words to husband and children on the loss of wife and mother. Dear brother, I hardly know what to say to you. The news of your wife's death was to me overwhelming. I could hardly believe it and can hardly believe it now. God gave me a view last Sabbath night, which I will write. I saw that she was sealed and would come up at the voice of God and stand upon the earth and would be with the 144,000. I saw we need not mourn for her. She would rest in the time of trouble. And all that we could mourn for was our loss in being deprived of her company. I saw her death would result in good. I warn F. and the rest of the children to prepare to meet Jesus, and then they will meet their mother again, never more to be parted. O children, will you heed her faithful warning that she gave you while she was with you, and let not all her prayers that she has offered up to God for you be as water spilled upon the ground. Get ready to meet Jesus, and all will be well. Give your hearts to God, and do not rest a day unless you know that you love Jesus. Dear brother, we have prayed to God to gird up you and strengthen you to sustain your loss. God will be with you and uphold you. Only have faith. Sorrow not as those who have no hope. The grave can hold her but a little while. Hope thou in God, and cheer up, dear brother, and you will meet her in a little while. We will not cease to pray for the blessings of God to rest upon your family and you. God will be your sun and your shield. He will stand by you in this, your deep affliction and trial. Endure the trial well, and you will receive a crown of glory with your companion at the appearing of Jesus. Hold fast truth, and you with her will be crowned with glory, honor, immortality, and eternal life. Letter 10, 1850. No sin in weeping. Comfort to a widow. Dear sister, we sympathize with you in your bereavement and widowhood. I have passed over the ground that you are now traveling and know what it means. How much sorrow there is in our world. How much grief. How much weeping. It is not right to say to the bereaved ones, do not weep. It is not right to weep. Such words have little consolation in them. There is no sin in weeping. Although the one who passes away has been for years a sufferer because of weakness and pain, yet that does not wipe away the tears from our eyes. Our loved ones die. Their accounts with God are sealed up. But while we consider it a serious, solemn thing to die, we must consider it a much more solemn thing to live. Every day of life is freighted with responsibilities which we must bear. Our individual interests, our words, our actions are making impressions upon those with whom we are connected. We are to find our consolation in Jesus Christ, precious Savior. He was ever touched with human woe. Cling to the source of your strength. Letter 103, 1898. He sleeps in Jesus on the death of a husband and father. My dear afflicted sister, I am afflicted with you in your affliction. Although I do not expect to meet your husband again in this life, yet I have been made sad to hear of his death and of the heavy responsibilities that this has left to rest upon you in the care of the family. We sympathize with you and will pray often for you and your children. Your husband sleeps in Jesus. Write, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth. Yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors, and their works do follow them. Revelation 14, verse 13. The Father loves all who are believers in deed and in truth, as members of that body of which Christ is the head. You must now sit down under Christ's shadow, and you will realize his peace. Think of Christ. Look to him in faith, believing his promises. Keep your mind trustful. He will be your stay. Lean on him. Depend on him. Do not be sorrowful above measure, but bear up, for a heavy burden rests upon you. Put your trust in one whose arm will never fail you. I have lost my husband, and I know by experience what your sorrow is, but looking to Jesus you will find encouragement. May you have the blessing of the Lord every day. My dear sister, may the Lord bless you and sustain you. It is too dark to see now, so I will say good night. Be as cheerful as you can for the sake of your children. Letter 167, 1905. Dear children, I must write a few lines to you. We wish that we could step into your home and weep with you and kneel with you in prayer. Will each one of you seek the Lord and serve him? You can be a great blessing to your mother by doing nothing that will make her heart sad. The Lord Jesus will receive you if you will give your hearts to him. Do all that is possible to relieve your mother from every care and burden. The Lord has promised to be a father to the fatherless. If you will give your hearts to him, he will give you power to become the sons and daughters of God. If the elder children will relieve the mother by bearing as many burdens as possible and by treating the younger children kindly, teaching them to do right and not to worry mother, the Lord will greatly bless them. Give your hearts to the loving Savior and do only those things that are pleasing in His sight. Do nothing to grieve your mother. Remember that the Lord loves you and that each one of you can become a member of the family of God. If you are faithful here, when He shall come in the clouds of heaven, you will meet your Father and will be a united family. In love, Letter 165, 1905. The Lord to be your comfort. On the death of a husband. Dear Sister, a letter has just been placed in my hands from Sister G, giving an account of your bereavement. I deeply sympathize with you, my sister. If I were where I could visit you, I would do so. I will say to you, my sister, the Lord would not have you grieve in sadness. Your husband has been spared to you many years longer than I supposed he would be. God has mercifully spared him, and mercifully, after much suffering, has let him rest in Jesus. Your husband and my husband are at rest. They have no more pain, no more suffering. They are at rest. I am sorry, my sister, that you are in affliction and sorrow. But Jesus, the precious Savior, lives. He lives for you. He wants you to be comforted in His love. Do not worry. Trust in the Lord. Remember that not a sparrow falls to the ground without the notice of your Heavenly Father. Be comforted, my sister, in the Lord. For as much then as Christ has suffered for us, arm yourselves likewise with the same mind. 1 Peter 4, verse 1. I urge you in your suffering to stay your soul upon God. The Lord will be your help, your strength, your comfort. Then look to Him and trust in Him. We must receive our consolation from Christ. Learn in His school His meekness and lowliness of heart. Let every word you speak show that you recognize the goodness, the mercy, and the love of God. Be determined to be a comfort and a blessing to all in the home. Create a sweet, pure, heavenly atmosphere. Open the windows of the soul heavenward and let the light of the Sun of Righteousness in. Do not complain. Do not mourn and weep. Do not look on the dark side. Let the peace of God reign in your soul. Then you will have strength to bear all your sufferings, and you will rejoice that you have grace to endure. Praise the Lord. Talk of His goodness. Tell of His power. Sweeten the atmosphere which surrounds your soul. Do not dishonor God by words of repining, but praise Him with heart and soul and voice. Look on the bright side of everything. Do not bring a cloud or shadow into your home. Praise Him who is the light of your countenance and your God. Do this and see how smoothly everything will go. Love to yourself and your daughter. Letter 56, 1900. Ellen White in her hour of bereavement. In my recent bereavement, I have had a near view of eternity. I have, as it were, been brought before the great white throne and have seen my life as it will there appear. I can find nothing of which to boast, no merit that I can plead. Unworthy, unworthy of the least of thy favors, O my God, is my cry. My only hope is in a crucified and risen Savior. I claim the merits of the blood of Christ. Jesus will save to the uttermost all who put their trust in Him. It is sometimes hard for me to preserve a cheerful countenance when my heart is rent with anguish, but I would not permit my sorrow to cast a gloom upon all around me. Seasons of affliction and bereavement are often rendered more sorrowful and distressing than they should be, because it is customary to give ourselves up to mourning without restraint. By the help of Jesus, I determined to shun this evil, but my resolution has been severely tested. My husband's death was a heavy blow to me, more keenly felt because so sudden. As I saw the seal of death upon his countenance, my feelings were almost insupportable. I longed to cry out in anguish, but I knew that this could not save the life of my loved one, and I felt that it would be unchristian to give myself up to sorrow. I sought help and comfort from above, and the promises of God were verified to me. The Lord's hand sustained me. It is a sin to indulge without restraint in mourning and lamentation. By the grace of Christ, we may be composed and even cheerful under sore trial. Let us learn a lesson of courage and fortitude from the last interview of Christ with his apostles. They were about to be separated. Our Savior was entering the blood-stained path which would lead him to Calvary. Never was scene more trying than that through which he was soon to pass. The apostles had heard the words of Christ foretelling his sufferings and death, and their hearts were heavy with sorrow, their minds distracted with doubt and fear. Yet there were no loud outcries. There was no abandonment of grief. These last solemn, momentous hours were spent by our Savior in speaking words of comfort and assurance to his disciples, and then all united in a hymn of praise. A time for prayer and praise. When difficulties and trials surround us, we should flee to God and confidently expect help from him who is mighty to save and strong to deliver. We must ask for God's blessing if we would receive it. Prayer is a duty and a necessity, but do we not neglect praise? Should we not oftener render thanksgiving to the giver of all our blessings? We need to cultivate gratitude. We should frequently contemplate and recount the mercies of God and laud and glorify his holy name, even when we are passing through sorrow and affliction. The Lord's merciful kindness is great toward us. He will never leave nor forsake those who trust in him. If we would think and talk less of our trials and more of the mercy and goodness of God, we would find ourselves raised above much of our gloom and perplexity. My brethren and sisters, you who feel that you are entering upon a dark path, and like the captives in Babylon, must hang your harps upon the willows, let us make trial of cheerful song. You may say, how can I sing with this dark prospect before me, with this burden of sorrow and bereavement upon my soul? But have earthly sorrows deprived us of all-powerful friend we have in Jesus? Should not the marvelous love of God in the gift of his dear Son be a theme of continual rejoicing? When we bring our petitions to the throne of grace, let us not forget to offer also anthems of thanksgiving. Whoso offereth praise glorifieth me. Psalms 50, verse 23. As long as our Savior lives, we have cause for unceasing gratitude and praise. The Review and Herald, November 1, 1881. The Glorious Resurrection Morning. A message to friends on Pitcairn Island. We were made very sad last Thursday to learn of your deep affliction. Our hearts are pained to hear of the deaths of those of our beloved brother J.R. McCoy's family. Our sympathies go out to all who are bereaved by this affliction. We extend our sympathy to the children and members of the family who have been thus sorely bereaved, but we would point you to Jesus as your only hope and consolation. The dear companion of our afflicted brother McCoy and the mother of the bereaved children whom she loved is silent in death. But while we weep with those that weep, we joy at heart because this loved mother and daughter and Brother Young, the elder of your church, and others who may have been removed by death, believed in and loved Jesus. Let the words of the Apostle Paul comfort you. I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we, which are alive and remain, shall be caught up together with them in the clouds, to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore comfort one another with these words. 1 Thessalonians 4, verses 13 through 18. We are not like the heathen, to have days and nights of mourning when nothing is heard but dismal chanting for the dead, for the purpose of arousing human sympathy. We are not to clothe ourselves with mourning clothing and wear a mournful countenance, as though our friends and relatives were forever parted from us. John exclaims, "Here is the patience of the saints. Here are they that keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus." And I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, "Write, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth. Yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors, and their works do follow them." Revelation 14, verses 12 and 13. How appropriate are the words of John in the case of these loved ones who sleep in Jesus. The Lord loved them, and the words spoken by them in their life, the labors of love which will be remembered, will be repeated by others. Their earnest wholeheartedness in the work of God leaves an example for others to follow, for the Holy Spirit has worked in them to will and to do of His good pleasure. But if the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by His Spirit that dwelleth in you. Romans 8, verse 11. Oh, how precious are these words to every bereaved soul! Christ is our guide and comforter, who comforts us in all our tribulations. When He gives us a bitter draw to drink, He also holds a cup of blessing to our lips. He fills the heart with submission, with joy and peace in believing, and enables us to say submissively, "Not my will, but thy will, O Lord, be done." The Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Job 1:21. With this submission, hope is resurrected, and the hand of faith lays hold upon the hand of infinite power. He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by His Spirit that dwelleth in you. Romans 8, verse 11. The very bodies that are sown in corruption will be raised in incorruption. That which is sown in dishonor will be raised in glory. Sown in weakness, it will be raised in power. Sown a natural body, it will be raised a spiritual body. The mortal bodies are quickened by His Spirit that dwelleth in you. Christ claims all those as His who have believed in His name. The vitalizing power of the Spirit of Christ dwelling in the mortal body binds every believing soul to Jesus Christ. Those who believe in Jesus are sacred to His heart, for their life is hid with Christ in God. The command will come from the life-giver, "Awake and sing, ye that dwell in dust, for thy dew is as the dew of herbs, and the earth shall cast out the dead." Isaiah 26, verse 19. The life-giver will call up His purchased possession in the first resurrection, and until that triumphant hour, when the last trump shall sound and the vast army shall come forth to eternal victory, every sleeping saint will be kept in safety and will be guarded as a precious jewel who is known to God by name. By the power of the Savior that dwelt in them while living, and because they were partakers of the divine nature, they are brought forth from the dead. Christ claimed to be the only begotten of the Father, but men encased in unbelief, barricaded with prejudice, denied the Holy and the Just One. He was charged with blasphemy and was condemned to a cruel death, but He burst the fetters of the tomb and rose from the dead triumphant, and over the rent sepulchre of Joseph He declared, "I am the resurrection and the life." John 11, verse 25. All power in heaven and in earth was vested in Him, and the righteous will also come forth from the tomb free in Jesus. They shall be accounted worthy to obtain that world and the resurrection from the dead. Then shall the righteous shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Matthew 13, verse 43. What a glorious morning will the resurrection morning be! What a wonderful scene will open when Christ shall come to be admired of them that believe. All who are partakers with Christ in His humiliation and suffering will be partakers with Him in His glory. By the resurrection of Christ from the dead, every believing saint who falls asleep in Jesus will come forth from his prison house in triumph. The resurrected saint will proclaim, O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? 1 Corinthians 15, verse 55. Jesus Christ has triumphed over death and rent the fetters of the tomb, and all who sleep in the tomb will share the victory. They will come forth from their graves as did the conqueror. God has not left you. Dear afflicted ones, so sadly bereaved, God has not left you to be the sport of Satan's temptations. Your sorrowful hearts will be opened to receive the words of consolation from your pitying Redeemer. Jesus loves you. Receive the bright beams of the Son of Righteousness and be comforted. Thank him who has risen from the dead and whoever liveth to make intercession for you. Jesus Christ is a living Savior. He is not in Joseph's new tomb. He is risen. He is risen. Rejoice, even in this your day of sorrow and bereavement, that you have a Savior who sympathizes with all your grief. He wept at the grave of Lazarus and identifies his sorrows with those of the sorrowing children. In all your conflicts, in all the trials and perplexities of life, seek counsel from God. The path of obedience to God is as a shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. Follow step after step in the path of duty. Steep places may have to be climbed, but go forward in the path of humility, of faith and self-denial, leaving the clouds of doubt behind you. Sorrow not in a hopeless way, for the living need your care and love. You have enlisted in the Lord's army. Be brave soldiers of Jesus Christ. Let words of penitence and grateful praise come up before God as sweet incense in his heavenly sanctuary. You may be disappointed, and your will and your way may be denied, but be assured that the Lord loves you. The furnace fire may kindle upon you, not for the purpose of destroying you, but to consume the dross, that you may come forth as gold, seven times purified. Bear in mind that God will give you songs in the night. Darkness may seem to enclose you, but you are not to look at the clouds. Beyond the darkest cloud there is an ever-shining light. The Lord has light for every soul. Open the door of the heart to hope, peace, and joy. Jesus says, These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. John 15, verse 11. God has a special work for everyone to do, and each one of us may do well the work which God has assigned him. The only thing we have to fear on our part is that we shall not keep our eyes continually fixed upon Jesus, that we shall not have an eye single to the glory of God, so that if we were called to lay down our armor and sleep in death, we might not be ready to give an account of our trust. Forget not for a moment that you are Christ's property, bought with an infinite price, and that you are to glorify him in your spirit and in your body, which are his. Be of good comfort. To the afflicted ones I would say, be of good comfort in the hope of the resurrection morning. The waters of which you have been drinking are as bitter to your taste as were the waters of Marah to the children of Israel in the wilderness, but Jesus can make them so sweet with his love. When Moses presented before the Lord the sad difficulties of the children of Israel, he did not present some new remedy, but called their attention to that which was at hand. For there was a bush or shrub which he had created that was to be cast into the water to make the fountain sweet and pure. When this was done, the suffering people could drink of the water with safety and pleasure. God has provided a balm for every wound. There is a balm in Gilead. There is a physician there. Will you not now, as never before, study the Scriptures? Seek the Lord for wisdom in every emergency. In every trial, plead with Jesus to show you a way out of your troubles. Then your eyes will be opened to behold the remedy and to apply to your case the healing promises that have been recorded in his word. In this way, the enemy will find no place to lead you into mourning and unbelief, but instead you will have faith and hope and courage in the Lord. The Holy Spirit will give you clear discernment that you may see and appropriate every blessing that will act as an antidote to grief, as a branch of healing to every draw of bitterness that is placed to your lips. Every draw of bitterness will be mingled with the love of Jesus, and in place of complaining of the bitterness, you will realize that Jesus' love and grace are so mingled with sorrow that it has been turned into subdued, holy, sanctified joy. When Henry White, our eldest son, lay dying, he said, "A bed of pain is a precious place when we have the presence of Jesus. When we are obliged to drink of the bitter waters, turn away from the bitter to the precious and the bright. In trial, grace can give the human soul assurance, and when we stand at the deathbed and see how the Christian can bear suffering and grow through the valley of death, we gather strength and courage to work, and we fail not, neither are we discouraged in leading souls to Jesus." Letter 65A, 1894. The Best Comforters. Those who have borne the greatest sorrows are frequently the ones who carry the greatest comfort to others, bringing sunshine wherever they go. Such ones have been chastened and sweetened by their afflictions. They did not lose confidence in God when trouble assailed them, but clung closer to His protecting love. Such ones are a living proof of the tender care of God, who makes the darkness as well as the light, and chastens us for our good. Christ is the light of the world. In Him is no darkness. Precious light, let us live in that light. Bid adieu to sadness and repining. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say, rejoice. Health Reformer, Volume 12, Number 10, October 1877.